Hello, you are listening to EXAM, KBIA's look into education issues in mid-Missouri. I'm Katerina Sestarek. Former University of Missouri football player Michael Sam came out as gay earlier this month. He came out to his teammates last August. That season, he also became the SEC Defensive Player of the Year and helped lead the Tigers to a 12-2 record. Now, Sam could be the first openly gay player in the NFL. Sam's coming out sparked a conversation about working toward a universal acceptance of LGBTQ athletes. So last week, I spoke with Wade Davis, a former NFL player who came out as gay after he retired. Now, Davis runs an organization called You Can Play. The group provides diversity training to sports teams, including the MU football team. I first asked him what the You Can Play project tries to accomplish with each team it advises.
Well, one of the big goals is to show some visibility, right? Because oftentimes, if an athlete doesn't know that there are resources that are available, or that their coaches are actually conscious of the fact that they may have a gay player or a lesbian player or a trans player on their team, now this athlete can say, wow, you know what, my coaching staff or my athletic department is actually taking steps to ensure that I feel safe. So I think that's one of the larger deals, right? So one of our goals is to really make all sports accessible to anyone who's LGBTQ. I mean, that is our larger goal, and to bring some visibility to it and to create really spacious and open conversations. I think that all those three objectives are being accomplished.
In the New York Times article, they talk about the You Can Play project and how when the diversity training took place at Mizzou, that was the first time that Michael Sam kind of indicated to his coaches that he was gay. Did you talk to Michael Sam or anyone else involved in the story at all about the role that the You Can Play project or diversity training may have played in Michael Sam's coming out?
No, to be honest at all. I don't think we can take much credit for that. You know, we're grateful, you know, that happened, you know, that we were mentioned. But, you know, I think what Michael Sam's story speaks to and how it intersected with You Can Play is honestly just the fact that we created an opportunity for him to have a conversation where athletes can feel safe enough to share, you know, any and everything. We try to be very intentional about not making anyone feel like anything that they say is going to be judged or that anything that they say is wrong, right? So if someone says, hey, I'm nervous about sharing with a gay locker room, we go, good, you know, thank you for sharing that. Now let's talk about, you know, how we can alleviate some of your fears. We never enter spaces thinking that we're going to change someone's heart and their mind, because we think that just entering into a space with that mindset means that we're already assuming that you have something wrong with you, right?
What kind of feedback have you gotten from different schools in the past regarding the You Can Play project?
Every school that we've ever gone to love it. They really love the openness of it and the spaciousness of it, that it can be tailored towards, you know, respect for someone's sexual orientation or even for their religion, for their race, for their class. So it really encompasses a lot of different things.
How common is this type of diversity training on university athletics teams?
It's getting more and more. I probably in the last year and a half have spoken at over 50 to 100 schools. I've been on panels at over 30 schools. You know, I've written. I've had young people reach out to me. So I think like colleges are really seeing that that the time is now to really start to educate their students and their coaches and admin. It's really, really prevalent.
Some people contend that diversity training is ineffective. What would you say to those people?
I would say it depends on the messenger, right? And it depends on whether people enter this work from a deficit model or an asset model, and whether or not people enter these conversations telling someone what they believe is wrong, right? Whenever you walk into a diversity training seminar and I tell someone what you believe is wrong and I'm here to change you, then yes, diversity training is terrible, right? Because then people have kind of like dug in their heels even further about what their beliefs are. But I believe that anytime someone stands up like Michael Sam does and tells their truth, the world changes.
What is your ultimate goal for the You Can Play project?
Put ourselves out of business.
This month, MU welcomed a new chancellor and a new bow tie wardrobe to campus. Chancellor R. Bowen Lofton held a Q&A with the media this past Friday. KBIA's Brady Finn has more.
Understand, this job could become a job that's dealt with by being in the office every day, all day, and never leaving. Not my style.
Last Thursday, new MU Chancellor R. Bowen Lofton could be found dancing with the university's mascot, Truman, at half court during the MU-Arkansas basketball game. That is his style. On Friday, he took the time to sit down for a Q&A session with the media. Lofton addressed the appointment of an independent counsel that has been hired to investigate the handling of the Sasha Manu Corey case. He made it clear that he has no formal role in the incident because it occurred before he became chancellor. Lofton also answered questions about Michael Sam and the national media rush following his announcement and reiterated that the story is Sam's, not the university's. When asked about the challenges of making college affordable, Lofton opened up about his own struggle to pay for school.
There are true consequences about raising tuition. If you know my history, access is very important to me. I came from a very poor family, and without support, financial aid, I wouldn't have been able to make it. So I really feel strongly about making sure people can get in here and money not being a real factor in that ultimately.
With student enrollment continuously reaching new highs, Lofton says maintaining a comfortable and enjoyable atmosphere for students is his priority.
My only concern in terms of increasing enrollment is that we do not diminish the quality of the total experience of the student. The last thing you want to do is make the experience for a student today less than it was a few years ago.
Lofton says he takes the time to talk to members of the community face-to-face because he's able to get instant feedback about both things that are going well and things that aren't. Just 2 weeks into his tenure, he has racked up almost 10,000 followers on Twitter. Lofton says he uses social media as a vehicle to communicate with students and faculty, spending an hour to an hour and a half on sites when he has free times. Although he attends MU sporting events, he's rarely found sitting still in his seat. Lofton is always shaking hands and meeting new people. He says he views the students, faculty, and staff as a three-legged stool. If any one of those three doesn't do their part, the whole stool will crumble. Brady Finn, KBIA News.
That's this week's exam. Podcasts of this and all other shows are available at kbia.org. I'm Katarina Sestarek. Thank you for listening.